Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA, the man with electric football fingers so quick and nimble, they defy the human eye, I present to you the one and only Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast.
Ready, now we're ready.
Right. 3, 2, 1, we're live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to the Mr. National Podcast. Like I said before, P-Double, this is not the podcast you want, but it's the podcast that you need.
That's right.
That's right. We got P-Double, as always. Today, folks, we got a special guest all the way from Tampa, Florida, my main man, EC.
What's up, brother?
What's going on?
P-Double National, glad to be here finally. We finally made it. I finally made big time. I'm on the podcast. I know I'm going places now.
You came a long way. You came a long way. I mean, I remember we was at an electric football tournament, and LG came up, and he was like, I think it was the coach's challenge. You needed, like, yep. And he was like, yo, I want to play. I need a coach. I was like, all right. I was like, first I wasn't going to play, and I was like, no, I'll play. Ever since then, we've been tight, P-Double.
Yes, sir. Nice. Yes, sir.
Nice.
So electric football brings everybody together.
Right.
But the main thing, I think I had a cigar in my hand. Just, I don't even know what it was.
You were just casually rolling it.
Just casually holding it. And Elgin was like, oh, you got like a boom, 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 boom. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I just got a yellow wrapper joint or something. Like, Elgin was like, nah, man, that's a this and that. Listen, P-Double, when you talk about cigars, okay, everybody knows I smoke them, but Elgin, what's that word? Aficionado.
Aficionado, there you go.
He's a guru.
Yeah.
This man has been to some of the places, right, Elgin?
Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, Cuba.
See? To the farms.
Yeah, really? We've been to the farms.
Wow. Met the rollers.
Been over to China and did their cigar tour, did the London cigar tour over, hit all the cigar shops in London. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, Algie, what got you into cigars? Can you go back to like,
yeah,
like I was started?
Really, what really got me started was in Cincinnati. Before we moved here, we were in Cincinnati, and a friend of mine, which was a doctor there, and he invited me to come out and go have a drink. Well, we ended up going to a cigar bar. Now, I've always been in and out of seeing cigars and all of that, but nothing consistent. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And every blue moon, I'll have a cigar. But this particular day, we went to the cigar bar. I was like, oh, that's cool. We had a cigar. We had drinks. And, you know, that became our little thing every couple weeks or 3 or 4 weeks, we get together and have our cigar. When I left him, I started going back on my own.
Okay.
So just going back on my own and going to visit the cigar shop. And it started there, but I was right at the midst of leaving Cincinnati, moving to Florida.
Okay. Right?
So that went on for about maybe a year, just casual. But then when I got down to Florida, had no really understanding that I was moving into Cigar City.
Right.
I had no clue that I was moving into the Mecca of cigars in America. You know what I'm saying? And so we came down. It was funny because we came down and we bought a house. And right outside of our development was a little plaza. And it had a cigar shop in it.
There you go.
And that started it off with me in Florida. And so from there, it became, you know, it was like a passion out here.
It became a passion of yours.
Yeah,
you know?
It definitely was, man. It became like it really is a part of the culture here and the historical culture in Tampa. So, you know, I know you went down to Ybor City, but all of those are factories, cigar factories all throughout the downtown area where, you know, when the Cubans migrated to, and Castro came and took over, they fled and came to Florida. So they started in Key West and migrated up through Miami and then Tampa. And that's where a lot of these people opened up their factories again over right there. So right here in Tampa. So it was, you know, it was a real true destination for that whole migration of Cuban growers, all those Cuban businesses, cigar companies that got basically but was exiled out of Cuba. They came to Tampa and started up there. So it started from there, man. And then, you know, from there on, that's just been a part of the whole history. That was probably one at one point the biggest employer in Tampa was the
cigars. Wow, with cigars.
Yeah, so and that was it dates back, but I mean, still, it was at one point that big of an industry in Tampa. All the way up until, like, I think the last factory standing now is J.C. Newman, which, you know, J.C. Newman, cigars, you know, he's the last one, actually, in America, that's an operating factory that still is a cigar factory. He's
right, right.
And last one standing.
Now, how did you, like, AAP double, and the cigar I had, like I said, I can't even remember. It was something I don't even know, but Elgin ran off like the ring size. Like that's a petite Corona ring size. Like, where does all that come from,
Elgin? I mean, you know, it really starts when you start smoking a cigar, and it kind of starts off, you start just seeing what I like and what I can handle.
Wait, I have an analogy. I'm sure it's the same, similar. Mm-hmm. Like when you walk up to an electric football game and you go, oh, that's that game when we were kids and the thing vibrates and the guys run all over. And you right really don't know what you're looking at, right?
Exactly.
Same thing you with cigars. Yeah, yep. Everything. When you got a magazine that says named Aficionado and it's all about cigars, I just take that there's a lot to know about cigars that just the casual observer, you know, yes, is going to learn exactly if they're interested.
But I mean, you don't have to go through the whole rule book of cigars to enjoy them. I mean, correct, you know, it's a few, you know, it's a few, like if you go into a cigar shop or a cigar lounge, you know, you have etiquette 101. You know, one of the main things, if you use the shop's cutter, you don't put the cigar in your mouth first and then cut it. You know what I mean?
That's, oh, okay. That's, you know, oh, okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, if you got your own cutter, P-Double, you can do whatever you want. It's your cutter and you cut your cigar. Right. That's, you know, that's a little etiquette. Another thing with cigars is huge, not with everybody, but a lot of, is the lighting process. Yeah. You know, you have the foot, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Elgin. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're right.
Toasted it. You toast the cigar.
Yeah.
You know, you toast it.
Yeah, I mean, I cut you off, Elgin, earlier. So.
No, that's all right. The best way to light a cigar, going back to toasting and just picking up where you just left off, but the best thing about lighting a cigar is that when you go to a cigar, a lot of times they'll have, like, cedar strips, right? You really will want to light your cigar off a cedar strip because you get none of the butane or anything light into your cigar. So if you really want the best light you can do would be off a cedar strip, and you light the cedar strip and then you toast it. And what you try to do is get a full even burn. You don't want to char the cigar because in the beginning you will char the cigar. A lot of people just blaze a light to the cigar.
Yep. And they burn the side.
Until it just busts in the flames almost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The toasting part of it is a slower process. When you say toasting, it's a slow process. Yeah. Toasting. Uh-huh. Not roasting, but toasting.
I got you.
hey, Pito, some people are just, like, they burn the whole side of the cigar. And I see that. And it makes me think of the movie Jaws. When he came up and Jaws is, I think it was like the Jaws 2. The side of his mouth was all burnt up, I think. Helicopter blew up. Like, people with cigars, and I see that, they, like, look like Jaws. You know, they burn.
So that when you see that, when you see them, like, with a big flamethrower trying to light their cigar, that's an amateur hour then?
Well, no, it's not like an amateur hour, but it's just the fact that when you take a cigar, and most people have a three-burner cigar.
Yeah.
Or, you know, four-burner cigar.
Uh-huh.
But generally what happens, even when you've got that kind of cigar, you don't really want to have the flame to touch
right
the cigar.
Right up to the cigar. There you go. Okay.
You're just going to have the cigar over the, because the flame is still, even though the flame might be here yellow, it's still about that much of really still hot, intense heat that you don't even
still,
have to be on
still
the flame.
Still an inch or two above the
cigar.
Flame.
Yes.
Okay.
Folks, welcome to the Mr. National Podcast. Yeah. I am like, you know, I'm happy right now.
Yeah, no, this is this is good already. Yeah, this is good already. This is great.
You know what I mean? Because cigars, you know, is a passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
The
right.
great thing about cigars, I tell you guys, never said this on the podcast. I got into it kind of like when I was younger and I just got into the construction field.
Mm-hmm.
I was. You probably won't know it now, but I was into, like, lifting weights and working out. One of, like, my heroes, and I ain't gonna say heroes, but one of the dudes I looked up to was Arnold Schwarzenegger,
okay?
So I like the muscles and everything. When I was younger, I used to think I want to be a Chippendale dancer. I used to think. Yeah, I want to be
thank God that thing never
cinnamon stick.
Dude, I used to work out. I used to put the baby oil on and have a little.
Oh my God! Good thing this is just an audio podcast, Elgin.
Oh wow!
Listen, I was into working out. I used to.
Hey, so Corey, let me interrupt. If you were doing that and you put the oil on, we know that you was in the mirrors practicing your moves.
Well, no, I didn't have
that whole ball. You know he was in the mirror practicing the move. You're not going to put baby oil on it and don't practice the move.
Listen,
it ain't going to happen.
I was just flexing. I was like trying to be like Ravishing Rick Rude. You know, I was lifting weights and stuff.
Right.
So, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was like my guy. And I didn't drink, okay, back when I was younger in my 20s and stuff. Didn't smoke or nothing. It wasn't until one of the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, I want to say maybe Predator or Commando, one of them, he was smoking a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like thinking like, man, you could smoke a cigar and still, you know, work out and be, you know, in shape. You know, I was like, if Arnold can do it, you know, I can do it.
Right.
So the cigar thing kind of was like, you know, Garcia Vega. It was like some guy at work might have had a baby and he'll bring a cigar in. I didn't know nothing about humidor, keeping it fresh, Elgin.
Right.
I might have had it in my drawer for like a month and
harsh.
Then light it.
Harsh.
Harsh.
That poor little cigar.
Listen. You want to know how hard it was? The Irish guys I used to work with, they used to say, hard as a honeymoon cock. That's how hard that cigar was.
Right.
So, I mean, and then I got into electric football world, got with Smokestack, learned some stuff from him, met John Martin, the Cuban Connect, John. But then when I met Elgin at that one tournament, it was just, I mean, his knowledge of it was just beyond anything I had ever met. So once we got this podcast going, and I know our roots is all electric football, I was kind of like, okay, screw electric football. I got to talk cigars. You know what
right,
I mean? Now, Elgin, what's like, I hear like two different kinds. I think you said I can't pronounce it.
Nicaragua.
Right. And what's the other kind you get?
No, well, there's the cigars come from different regions. So
right.
You have a Cuban cigar, you have
right.
a Honduran cigar.
Honduras, right.
You have a Dominican cigar.
Dominican.
A Nicaraguan
okay, yep.
cigar, Ecuadorian, you know.
Now
right.
between the Dominican, the Dominican and the one with the N, what's that one?
Nicaragua?
Nicaragua.
Yeah.
Careful.
What's the difference?
Well, I mean, it's really, they can still grow the same leaves, right?
Uh-huh.
So if I'm going to grow a Nicaraguan Habano wrapper, right, or I'm going to grow a Connecticut broadleaf wrapper in Dominican or in Nicaragua, it's the same leaf, same seed. It's just that the soil and the nutrients from the water, the soil, the minerals, and everything there is different. So each region will bring on, take on a different taste profile due to the fact that the minerals and the natural habitat is different.
Awesome. Now, a guy like P-Double who doesn't smoke, they have, now you have mild,
mm-hmm.
you have medium, and then you have strong body. What's the
full body.
Full body, that's it. Full body, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed women kind of go with the flavored kind, like a cherry. They have like French vanilla. They all have mm-hmm. like all these different really? Flavors. Yeah, they all they have flavored yeah. cigars. I mean, they smell very good, and they're mostly light body. But flavored.
Right.
So you have like that taste, like the taste is on the leaf, right? On the wrapper, right, Elgin?
Right, right. Mm. So they what they do is they inject, I mean, they don't inject, but what happens was they'll take the leaves, right? And let's just say if I'm going to make it a coffee flavor, right?
Uh-huh.
So in the process, when they're, after they pick the leaves, harvest the leaves, dry the leaves out, now they're taking them into production to put these leaf production. What they'll do is before they start what they call like stacking the leaves in different and just bundles, just stacking one leaf in the bundle. What they'll do is they'll spray it with this coffee spray. You'll see them have a bottle and they'll have this coffee flavoring in. And they'll spray the leaves, right? They'll spray the leaves and then they'll take those leaves with two hands and they'll just shake them and try to get the excess moisture off of it. Because if they don't do that, you'll get the spotting on the leaf. So they'll shake them and then they roll them, take them out, and let them then cure. But then that's how you get that flavor into
each cigar. Yeah. See yeah. that?
Wow.
Hey, P-Double, did I tell you this man would drop gems? Elgin, what's – I'm going to go with five because usually with the Stack with Nat show, we always do top five. Mm-hmm. This national podcast. What's your top five? Now I know one of them would be that – I think it
was. I mean, are you talking about overall or just Cuban or just
your top five smokes? Like if you had to go, if you had to be stuck on an island,
five
cigars that you would want to have. And I'm going to say that one that I had, I think it was an Upman Epicure. Epicure number two or something.
You already know. You already know.
Yo,
I had the right number two.
So
that's it.
All right, so what's your top five, Elgin? Give it to us.
So I would say my first off the bat would be the Hoya de Monterrey Epicurean number two.
That's it. That's the one. That's yeah. the one I gave him.
Hey, that would be like one of my go to's that my, you know, that's it. The second one would be...
Repeat that one again.
It's the Hoya de Monterrey.
Yes.
Epicurean that, number two.
That is a great cigar. Elgin was like, that's my favorite. I said, I got one. I came up the room. I was like, this for you, bro.
Oh,
we sat out and we smoked.
Oh, that was he don't know. He made my weekend have on that one. For sure.
Okay, so number two.
That number two would be the Bajique. A Cohiba Bajique.
Okay.
It is probably obviously it's a very exclusive cigar from Cuba, right? It's a Cuban cigar, Cuban Cohiba. And it's a Bajique cigar. And it's really their, you know, their Rolls Royce of their cigar line. And as you can think about, you know, Cohiba being that prestigious brand.
Yes, very expensive.
Yeah, and they're costly. They're probably the most expensive Cohiba brand. But the Bajique is the most expensive cigar of all the Cuban brands.
And you know what? I'm going to drop a little gem on you, Elgin. You probably know. P-Double probably don't know, but Elgin might know. The Cohiba Cuban cigar is one of the most fake? Counterfeited. That's the
fact. Oh, really?
It's not just the most counterfeited cigar, it's one of the most counterfeited items in the world.
Okay, you know yeah, I mean? We got like, after you go through your top five, I want to ask about that.
Okay.
So
Number three, we up to.
The next one would be the Particus D4.
Particus D4.
Right, I had that one.
The Particus D4, it's a Robusto, meaning it's like a 5-inch cigar, probably about a 40, like a 50-inch regauge.
See, he's just dropping that lingo. People are like, he's talking Russian right now.
The ring gauge is the diameter of it, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so you want to see what the ring gauge, you know. So it's a Robusto, it's like about 5 inches by 50. That would be number three. Can't go wrong with that. Now, as of the last 2 years, the guy here in Central Florida, he came onto the scene, and he is the number one guy to me right now. As far as brand, I think his brand is the best brand outside of Cuba to me right now.
Wow.
Now, Padron is definitely there. And I'll get back to four. I haven't forgot where I'm at. I'm at four. Padron is a few. I had to build up this number four. Because he's an upstart, basically. But I had to build him up. So the cigar line is called Warp Cigar.
Warp?
W-A-R-P.
Okay.
Warp. Like warp speed.
Yep. So, I mean, his line, I'm not even going to say one cigar. I'm just going to put him there as a line.
Okay.
Because his whole line is so fantastic until I can smoke up and down his whole line and just be like, yes, this hit my sweet spot, right?
No. Off the, off the line, you're going to have to text me that. I got to try that.
When you try it and just go down the line, and oh, my God. I tell you what you would like already is what they call the Lacoma. But I'll get you all that information. But that's what I would suggest you go for first. You.
Okay.
And the fifth cigar is the My Father's Cedros Deluxe.
Oh. And that's My Father's. That's my brand.
Oh, you like that?
I like My Father's, yeah. I always
My Father's Cedros Deluxe they kind of package it in a cedar tube. And it's like a Longsdale. So it's probably about a 46 ring gauge. And it's probably about 6 inches, 6.5 inches, about 6 inches. But it's called the Cedros Deluxe. Fantastic. I mean, you don't really see them a lot at the cigar bars, cause I don't know why, but it's like, me the best.
Listen, if women listen to our podcast right now, they talking about all these stuff, they probably getting all wet. They like 6 inches. They're like, he's too small. Listen, ladies, we want to thank you for listening to Mr. Nashville podcast. We are not talking about dildos right now.
Right.
We have the cigar.
No electric power.
Right, we talking about the cigar guru right here. We talking cigars, baby.
Right.
So we just got the top five from my main man, Elgin.
That's beautiful. My top five.
And then P-Double wants to bring up something.
Yeah, so let me,
before you go to that one, I'm going to just tell you a quick story. When me and Elgin was smoking, you know, we had our cigars. We were sitting out.
At the electric football tournament.
At the electric football tournament.
Because we're going to make Elgin talk about electric football, too.
Oh, we are, because this is the man that kind of brought back the MFCA.
Well. Yeah.
So we ain't going to let him off the hook that easy, okay? We're going to bring it back to electric football.
Right now,
it's my podcast, and I'm talking cigars with my cigar guy, okay? And all the listeners are getting educated
with this. You just have to bear with them.
So, right. I mean, Elgin really don't have no socials, so to speak, that he could go to for people to, like, oh, I want to learn more. So what you do is just send it to Mr. National Podcast, and I'll be the middleman, and I'll let Elgin know what you said, and I'll get back. I'm Elgin's, like, manager right now. But the story, real quick, Pete, we out smoking, we lit our cigars, we just kicking it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just catching up. Like I say, we had just kind of met, you know, we probably knew from the, each other from the electric football, you know, rooms and the, you know, the groups and stuff.
Right.
So Elgin's like, hey, you smoke, he was like, every every so many puffs or whatever, he say, you know, you want to blow it through your nose. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, he's like, nah, you never did that. He was like, that's how you get the full aroma.
Right.
Of the cigar, right, Elgin, mm-hmm. or something like that.
Whatever. Right, right.
So I'm like, I never tried it. I was like, all right, you know, at this point, it's only like a couple years ago, you know, I'm Mr. National, the fall. You know what I mean? I'm like, here's this dude telling me how to smoke my cigar, but, you know.
But off he was right. But he was right, though, right?
But off his knowledge, you know, I'm going to give it a shot, you know? So I was like, man, I don't know if I could do it. So Elgin's just like, blow it, like, yeah, you know, blow it through your nose, like, man, you just take it in the cigar. So I blow it. And it went, hey, Peter, when I blew that thing through my nose, I thought, like, fucking razors came through my nostrils. I said, what the hell you do to me, bro? I was like, whoa. It's like you get the full aroma. You do that every about 4 or 5 puffs.
But first you gotta clear things out, right?
Right.
I said about 4 or 5 years I might try. But he was right. I mean, you take in a cigar, you breathe in, breathe out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but when you take it in and blow it through your nose, you actually feel it. I mean, it's
really. Yeah, because like, you know, your flavor is through your mouth, but it's also through your nose, right?
Yeah, your sensory glands is coming here through your nose, and so your mouth only picks up salt, sweet, bitter. You know, that's what your mouth picks up. So when you look at a cigar aficionado and you read, oh, notes of cherry, spice, and almond, and honey nut, cedar.
Yeah, he ain't lying.
If you ain't taking it through your nose and really experiencing cigar, you're like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Yeah.
where is he getting that at?
Right. Yo, hey, P-Double, he is not lying. Like, when you get these cigars, they have, like, a little listing with them. And you have these aromas, and just like he said, cinnamon with a hint of cherry and almond and all this stuff. You were like, what?
Right.
What he's talking about when you take it through your nostrils.
The rose thing, huh?
Yeah. I'll be damned. Then you see the complexity and the layers of the flavoring that's going on in that cigar.
Right.
Now you're tasting the tobacco.
Yeah. But that's what experience cigar smokers. Do not attempt that at home, okay? Now, P-Double, you got a story. What was yours?
I'm curious about it. So let me start back from the beginning, because Cuba is an interesting story in itself, notwithstanding cigars, right? Mm-hmm. Like the history of Cuba, you know, I don't know a whole lot about it. I haven't studied the Wikipedia page or anything, but I know that Fidel Castro... The revolution was in 1959 when he took over. And so at that point, Cuban cigars became illegal in the U.S.
Uh-huh. The embargo.
The embargo, right. And Cubans, because of the communism, they were our mortal enemies. You know, they're 50, 60 miles from the coast of Florida. Here's this island. And they're, you know, there's the embargo, and there's, you know, they're communists. And so they have the Russian, you know, base there, and you know, all the tension between the missile crisis and all that. And so amidst all this, the Cuban cigar became illegal. Is the Cuban cigar still illegal?
Yes. It is still a part of the embargo. It's still a part of the agreement, the embargo that was passed back then. Okay. The issue really with Cuba is, to this day, it's really a hypocrisy.
There's, I mean, that's silly to me, real silly. It's a historical thing. It's you know, yeah. There's all that baggage and stuff. And like Fidel Castro's long gone. That's a whole other thing. That's not what I want to ask about though. So, but I didn't know that they were still illegal. So before I get to the counterfeiting thing, so how does one go about getting a Cuban cigar? I mean, you know,
so basically,
is it like buying weed?
it ain't that.
It's getting legal now.
Right.
It's easier to get weed.
Can you believe that weed gonna beat the Cuban?
Right. Can you believe that?
It's easier to get weed.
Right. Can you believe that? So if you look at it from the standpoint of how would you go about getting a Cuban cigar? Uh-huh. And that would be a couple things. You have pretty much two alternatives. I mean, you go to Cuba.
Okay.
You get a cigar, uh-huh. Or you have online. Pretty much most of Cuba's production either finds their way into Europe and the United States. And you would think, how can it get into the United States when you have an embargo? Well, what happens is you have sites online that people go buy online.
Okay, don't tell too much. You don't want to.
The world know that.
I know.
The world know that. And so they buy them online because, you know, that's kind of how I was introduced. Like, man, I had a little connect like you had, Corey, and I was getting my cigars through him. And before you know it, I ran into a guy, and his family owned four McDonald's, right? And I got to tell you the story. I'll go through it real quick. I'm sitting in a cigar shop, actually. Uh-huh. Sitting in a cigar shop. So I hear this guy talking, and he's talking to, at that point, his general manager for one of his one of his McDonald's. So they have a big old crate, and they have wine, and they're talking about cigars and dipping. I'm listening to the conversation, so I'm ear hustling the conversation. So I'm listening. Now I got a Diplomatico number 2 in my hand, which is a Cuban cigar.
Okay.
Right? A really good Cuban cigar. And so I'm listening and I'm smoking, but they're not in tune to me. So I'm smoking. And then for some reason the guy said, "Hey man, what are you smoking?"
Oh boy.
And I was like, I'm smoking a Diplomatico number 2. And it looked like they turned stone cold. they looked at me like,
oh, they knew what you had.
You know, because they're in Cuba. Now, I didn't know who this guy was, but, I mean, he's a true Cuba aficionado. So, anyway, he's all, man, he's smoking, so we had to open up this conversation. So I was like, so what are you smoking? So we start talking, and he's got this big old box. Now, my mind is still intrigued with this big old box on the table. So I go up to shake his hand. I was like, oh, man, I see just on the peripheral that box is full. So I'm like, oh, man, y'all smoking good. So I deliberately look into the box now.
Right.
And he's like, oh, yeah, these are some loose singles. Dude, he had about 150 singles in his box. He keep them in his locker. So he pulled the box out of his locker, had it on the table, and he's smoking. So I'm seeing nothing. Now my eyes are looking at the bands, and all I'm seeing is nothing but Cuban bands.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So I'm like, I was like, oh man. He was like, oh, we'll grab you one. So I was like, oh, okay, thanks, I appreciate it. So I'm rummaging through. I didn't want to get one of those because he had some that was marked on there. I was like 1990.
Oh my goodness.
Like, a Ziploc bag, the one cigar in a Ziploc bag, that's one little bag that fits the cigar, and he had writings on it. And so I didn't want to get one of them because I was like, it made me special. So I just picked up one. Okay, great. I got a Monte Cristo number 2, just, you know, the quintessential Cuban. I grabbed that. So we're starting to talk, right? So as we talk and he's about to leave, I said, well, man, look, you sell some of those? And he said, oh, yeah, come and get what you want. So I buy like about 10 of them from him. I come through and buy 10 of them. I said, well, man, shoot, if you you buy or whatever, you just let me know, man. I'll go in with you. I'll buy with you.
Oh, wow.
And just so I hit him with that. Because I knew his knowledge when I heard him talk, I already knew that this guy is on a whole other stratosphere.
Right.
So fast forward, me and the guy calls. So he texts me. I call him. I say, hey, man, you got anything? This is about a week later. He said, yeah, I got some stuff to sell. Let me get it together, and I'll let you know what I got to sell. So, man, about 2 days later, he sent me this big old list of stuff he had to sell. And I was like, my eyes were like, whoa. So I called him back. I said, when can we get together? He said, come on out to the house. Man, what a freak that was. I didn't realize I had dawned on a collector of epic proportions. Okay.
Epic. So,
I didn't know nothing about the McDonald's. I didn't know nothing about the guy. So when I go up to the house, he says, oh, yeah, I got that stuff in here. So I go into his office. He got it all on his office table, about 10 boxes. And I was like, God, dog. So he was like, oh, don't worry about that. Let's go have cigars. We'll get you there before you leave. So we go on his patio, beautiful home. Says all, he said, oh man, let me see what you want to smoke. I said, I'm gonna smoke what you smoke. You the house, you recommend.
Right.
Then he said, well, let me see what I got. So he started bringing these Coleman coolers out. Still, I mean, he taking the box, taking the lid off, pull them off, smell them. Yeah, put them back in, check and smell it. You know, he's telling me smell it. Oh, man. So he's going through, then he take that Coleman, bring another Coleman out. He's going through it. Oh, man. So he got, let me get some wine. So he goes, pops a bottle of wine, comes back in, pulls out another Coleman. So we did this like 6 times with just Coleman coolers.
Unbelievable.
So he's got the humidity packs and all that. So then he said, well, what do you want to smoke? I said, listen, he pulled out a lacquer black box that was like a pyramid. And it was from it was a Cohiba, it was a limited edition. It was the first time Cohiba had ever made a pyramid cigar. Or torpedo cigar.
Right, torpedo. Pointed, yeah.
Right. It was the first time they actually really came out with a torpedo in the Cohiba line. Well, they released them at the Habanos Festival, the big Cuban black tie Habanos Festival, right?
Right.
They only had 500 boxes. Well, a lot of this guy, now hindsight, a lot of this guys, they are in like cigar clubs and they go all over. And what they did, some of these guys are going to that festival. So he said, look, get me the exclusive release this year. So they end up, he gave the money, they bought cigars for him while he was over
there.
He comes back with his black. So when he opened the box, I'm like, oh my God, I mean, so I said, he was telling me the story about this, so I was like, I'm definitely not going to say, let's smoke that. You know, that's a special cigar. I'm definitely not going to be greedy and say, let's smoke that one. So I was like, he said, oh, like, oh, man. He said, so what do you want to smoke? What you name it? I said, well, I ain't going to smoke the Cohiba. I threw it out there. Right. Hoping he would say, no, let's do it. And sure enough, he said, let's do it. So we ended up smoking that thing, man. And I'm going to tell you, man, that was the one cigar, even to this day, it's like, you know, when you have a moment that is branded in your mind, that is, it will never leave your mind. You know that you will go to the grave with that special moment. This was that special moment. I mean, I literally took this cigar and I smoked it to the point where as I'm leaving his house, I'm going with 2 fingers like this. I'm just trying to hold on to it with 2 fingers and get the very last. It's about that big. And but then after that, on the way home, I realized how buzzed I was. Dude, I was like, woo! I mean, I was really like floating.
Elgin, this guy had like he's pulling out all these. He had
That's the opening act,
right? That's a priceless collection.
So this now,
collection is priceless.
So now, imagine a bedroom, like a third bedroom. You maybe in your house, you have a third bedroom. Well, he had a downstairs closet in his house, like a coat closet.
A walk-in closet.
Probably.
And what he did was, he had this and converted it into a humidor.
Humidor,
so
right.
So when you walk in, everything, the walls, the wood, everything was cedar.
Cedar, so, right.
The whole thing. And hashtag it had 3 goals. Shelves.
Hashtag goals.
Yeah.
Right.
And goals. He had 2 shelves like he was in a humidor. When you walk in there, you would have thought it was a humidor. Because all the shelves all the way up to the wall, all were shelves, like you would see in a humidor, and he had 2 little aisles. Well, it's like 1 divider in the middle of it, and it had shelves coming all the way down. So it was about 6 feet tall with shelves coming down. And it's literally packed, every shelf.
Unbelievable.
I would just sit there. If you ever seen the LeBron and Kobe commercial with Lil Dan's, you remember that commercial?
Yeah.
Oh man, when they said, let me see your shoes, and he goes and he looks at the shoes and then he catches the asthma attack.
That was you.
Yeah. That's how I was when I went in there. It was like, you know what I'm saying? And it was unbelievable. That was the best cigar experience I had just with a 1-on-1 individual. I ended up buying like 8 of those boxes that day.
That's crazy.
Hey, let me ask you about the counterfeiting then. So people counterfeit Cuban cigars.
Mm-hmm.
They do that in the state, like in the states, people will produce counterfeits, and
they're pretty good. Levels of counterfeiting.
What's that? Right?
I said, you have levels to counterfeiting.
Sure.
You have very bad ones, mm-hmm. and you had very good ones.
Right. Right. Right.
So what happens is, pretty much, there's a lot of telltale signs that you will know if you smoke Cubans that it's a fake. You know right. what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Right. The telltale sign. Pretty much anything in a dress box. When I say a dress box, I mean where you see a regular traditional cigar box, you flip the lid over, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, like a rectangle box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call it a dress box. A cabinet is a square, like, wood box.
Yes.
That's called a cabinet.
Okay.
So when you see a dress box in Cuba, most Cubans will always be flattened on the top. It's almost, you won't even notice it with the naked eye, but because the way Cubans package it, the package end up pressing on the cigar just a little bit to flatten it on the top of the cigar just
right.
a little bit. So if you ever take a Cuban and rub your finger on it like this, you'll feel that.
Yeah.
It won't be like a totally round. Right. Yeah, it'll be like a box, press.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah, it won't be like square hard like that. It'll be very, very faint of a little press on it. And that's one of the telltale signs.
Right, okay, all right. Just little things
and then
like that.
Another thing, you'll look at the foot of the cigar. Hold on, let me get a cigar so I can explain it to you. Hold on one second.
Right. Man. So, hey, P-Double, was that?
Yeah,
I don't BS.
No, this is really good. This is really good.
I'm telling you, this man knows cigars.
He gets up, and you can't see it right now, but so he leaves, and to take his spot on the camera is the book that says The Nevada Cigar. Right there.
Right.
Right.
He just got cigars.
We're
going to
go on a book tour here in a minute when he gets back. You got to ask
Elgin. Elgin must live in a mansion because you can hear like an echo in his voice.
He's got this vaulted ceilings. And,
right.
Yeah.
He has like 40-foot ceilings with cathedral, you know.
There must be the echo from the pool in the room next door.
Right. You can hear that.
And y'all give me too much credit. So look, here is here's a cigar that I rolled at Hoya de Monterrey. You familiar with that?
Yes.
So the Hoya de Monterrey factory in Nicaragua. So I rolled this. I had a blending session there, and I rolled my own cigars. Here, you can see the label.
Yep. Wow. Nice. Now, folks, he's holding up his own cigar that he rolled. Now,
I'm going to get to do that. At the Hoya de Monterrey factory. So what happens, we went there, we got a chance to blend. I went to Drew Estates, and I got a chance to blend my own cigars there as well. So this was January 7th, 2013, right? So going back to the Cuba thing, another thing, so when you look at Cuba, you say, how can we tell fake? So, again, on the top of the cigar, you're going to see where that, okay, here's the top of the cigar. You'll see where that's going to be a little flattened. So you feel a little box press on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll just feel like you can feel that. The next thing you'll see, chipping. Okay, now you see this cigar at the foot of that. See how mm-hmm. clean that is?
Yep. That's a clean cut, right. He's showing us the foot of the cigar, folks, and the foot is the part that you actually like.
Right.
Right, not the part you put in your mouth.
No.
Correct. So what happens when you see Cuba, a lot of times the rolling is bad. The bunching is bad. All of that construction is bad. And a lot of times what you'll see is they call it chipping. And so you can see how clean that is.
Yes.
A lot of times you can look into it, and you'll see all these different, you know, nothing's even. It's nothing clean.
All right.
You can just see, like, holes in it. You can see, like, different colorations of tobacco, and they're at different lengths, and little strands are sticking out. It's really minute and subtle, but
the Cubans will tell. The Cubans will have that, or the Cubans will be real clean.
They will be real clean. They'll be a really clean look.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? But if you that cigar that was a fake, you'd have chippings. It'll be loose. You would see like holes in it a little bit.
Yeah, they just come from like so in Cuba. They just have an expertise that they've mastered.
Well, not just Cuba, because I mean they're all around. But I mean. That's just a counterfeit when you look at just a guy in his backyard, not in his backyard, but in his garage, counterfeit cigars.
Okay.
And they're bunching up, you know, rolling cigars.
Right, I got you.
Well, you're not going to be rolling like a Cohiba, you know, I'd say level 8 roller in Cohiba. You know what I'm saying?
Level 8. He dropped another gem on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Elgin was like, I didn't think he'd be able to do. Is this dude a natural for the podcast?
Oh yeah, man, we got to have him back like every time.
Dude, okay. So talking about
that's what. And then on a band, every band, you know, they have websites you can go look at, and actually, even like Cohiba even has it on their site where they used to have it, where they would show the bands and how to detect the counterfeit band. But it's really, now that you got a lot more information in, and there's enough of them in circulation that people have been putting them online for a long time. So you can always go online and kind of look at the telltale signs. There's a lot of websites that will show counterfeitings and what some of the things to look for in counterfeiting.
My wife works in counterfeiting shoes, tries to battle counterfeiting shoes. And so I know a little bit about that. So it's just interesting to hear it on cigars.
Well, yeah,
battle.
Hey, Elgin, Rolex watches get counterfeited. I'm also a sports cards collector. One of the more counterfeited cards is the Wayne Gretzky rookie card, always counterfeited. The Michael Jordan rookie card, always counterfeited. So there is a lot of things that get counterfeited.
Let me stop you right there, because when you talk about counterfeiting, I couldn't believe it until I went there. When I went to China, we went to a factory, like four different factories, but we went to a factory with five floors, like an old department store, and everything in the whole five floors was counterfeit.
Wow. Crazy.
iPads, Apple computers, whatever you think was there was counterfeit.
Yeah, counterfeit. Amazing.
Louis bags, Gucci
every
bags.
Every kind of bag, the lighters, the Monte Cristo lighters. That's like $1,000. I bought two of them, and they were counterfeited.
Wow!
I took the shot because they're like $1,000, and you'll always notice this distinct sound whenever you open up. It goes bing. It makes a bing. Anytime you open it up, it goes bing. So if you ever hear that, you know that guy got a serious lighter next to him. You hear that? So, I go to one cigar store, actually my client, and you know a lot of those guys heavy hitters, so they get bing bing bing, and they'll juggle one another, and be like, "What you smoking? Oh, let me light that for you." Bing. You know, let him know like you a small fry. You know what I'm saying? They do that kind of stuff. But those lighters were like $1,000.
Yo, $1,000 lighter.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
But so I bought them in China, two of them. They were like $20 a piece. And so when I brought them back to my client, they actually sell the DuPont lighters. They sell the Monte Cristo lighters. I mean, they got them in glass cases, you know, everything like they were crystal. So you go back there, I said, look at it. So they look at it. Man, they couldn't tell. The only thing he could tell the difference was the serial number. The typeset in the serial number is a little bit bigger than the typeset.
I know in China, because they have factories there, right? You might have the factory producing the authentic item. And then out the back door, they'll produce counterfeits in the same factory.
That's exactly what it is.
This was crazy in China.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
This lighter, you got to, hey, Elge, you got to text me this lighter.
I never heard
of $1,000 lighter. That's crazy. The cutters is expensive. Like, I brought, like, this Ferrari, I think a Lamborghini cutter is like $85, you know?
Man, they got some cutters that are handmade that's like $400, $500.
We broke out the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, they crazy. Wow. It can get crazy. If you got it, they make it.
Well, hey, Peter, we got to bring Elgin back because, I mean, we burnt up.
Yeah,
we almost burnt up all the time.
Yeah,
This is what I wanted, though.
Yeah, can you take us on a book tour? You got to take us on a tour of your books.
Oh, yes. Okay. Let's go to the book.
Yeah.
So this is the Cigar Companion. So this book right here I had a long time. This is called The Cigar Companion. Basically, they take these kind of books, and they make them, you know, pretty much, they make them like maybe once every couple of years because they update the cigars that's
right
out of production. Mm-hmm. So if I open this book, it'll just kind of break down. Hold on, let me open this up.
You got to move it. We can't see.
You got to bring it down. Yeah. There you go.
Nice.
See? Look at that.
So it'll tell you the whole collection. So this is the punchline. Can you see it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, then it'll show you the ring gauge and the name and the list.
Wow.
And then it'll give you some pictures of the cigars in the line.
Nice.
So this is how you can kind of follow the whole line, and these are books to help you kind of know the whole line of a brand. So here's the punchline. Wow. If we go back here, you're seeing the this is a Macanudo line.
Macanudo.
Nice. Here's a Jose Benito. That's no longer. That was a Dominican cigar. That's no longer. Here's the Griffin. They're still in production. And the Jessup, they're now no longer a Cuban. They're now in, I think they're now, somebody bought the label because it was a defunct old Cuban label. But somebody bought it, and I think they're making it in Dominican now. I think that's in the Dominican now. And here's the El Raymundo. So, so this is Cigar Companion right here. That's one. The guy that made that book is the same guy as the owner of the Cigar Aficionado.
Oh, okay.
Wow, the magazine.
Yep.
Real quick, what's the cigar that has like three T's on it?
That's the Trinidad.
That boy good. Okay. That knowledge, boy good right knowledge. There. That is my man right there.
So here's another one of the Cigar Companion. You can see, they go into stage. Here was one, it was the older one. Here was, you can see Marvin Shank in the Cigar Aficionado.
Yep.
And this is another Companion. Same kind of book, but just updating. Keep updating them.
Right.
You know, you gotta keep updating them, right? So now he's gonna show you the bands and, you know, the different cigars here. It'll break them down. And this one is basically all the cigars that they rated in the book. So it's a kind of a compilation of their books, their magazines, of all the cigars that they rated in this book. Then
this
we have
unbelievable.
Another Ultimate Cigar book. This is the second edition. I did have the first edition, man, but I ended up letting the guy, I traded it for another guy because I had one.
He trading cigar books.
Just go right down the line and show us all the books.
And here's the cigar label. This just all shows you like all the history of the cigar labels.
Yeah.
Okay. This is great stuff, folks.
Yeah.
This is one thing. It's all about the Havana cigar. So it kind of goes you the history of Havana cigar, the history of the rollers. History of just show you old tobacco and how it looks in the factory. Great pictures, great stories, and it kind of breaks down all of the history in Cuba and the whole process in the cigar making over there.
Nice.
You know,
yep.
So that's that. And then here's another one, a story of Havana cigars. They actually have a video. If you go on YouTube, type up the story of Havana cigars, and they got a book out of it, a movie, like a documentary. If y'all see that, y'all love it. It's called The Story of Havana Cigars on YouTube.
All right.
Okay, on YouTube. We got to put that. We might have to put a little...
So here's another one. This is another one. This is the
cigar.
Basically a cigar guide, and it shows you a lot of stories, but it also gives you like stuff like this here. It'll give you like the cigars, the whole line.
Now, what we're looking at is charts, folks. Elgin is showing us... charts. This book has charts. It breaks down all the cigars. Look at that.
Wow.
Crazy.
And it goes through all the different brands that's ever made and every cigar ever made.
Nice.
That's unbelievable.
And here's another cigar encyclopedia.
Of course
you gotta have an encyclopedia.
Yeah. So this
look
is
at the size. It has the size, ring size, and length.
Yeah. So here you'll see it, and you can see the name, the number 3, 7.5 inch, ring gauge is 52.
Unbelievable. Well, what's a big cigar? A Robusto, right? That's a
big cigar. The biggest cigar is an A, which would be considered like an A. That's like the biggest cigar. See, that's going to be like one of those foot-long cigars.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like it's called an A, just like the letter A.
Wow.
Here is a guy that I have a book, but it's in the other room. I have books in my man cave. I have cigar books too, but this
he's
one
in my man cave.
I thought we were in the man cave.
No, this office right here.
This dude dude is loaded. He got a walk-in closet in his house, okay? When I grow up, I want to be like Elgin.
So this one is a guy that actually, he actually helped write the number one book in the history of cigars on Earth. It's called The History of Cuban, Encyclopedia of Cuban Cigars. It's the number one book. If you try to buy it right now, if you go online and look for it, they're probably asking about $2,000 for it.
Jeez!
Yeah.
Are you one serious?
Wow. Yep. I was able to end up buying the book, and I bought my first book. I had two of them. My first one I bought in London for like $150, and then a friend of mine came on some hard times, and he sold me his book for $250. I turned around and sold his. Mine was like brand new, like, you know, book, you know, showroom quality. His was kind of old, you know, but I sold that for $1,000, the old one. I mean, old.
Humble. I got to counterfeit that book.
It's hard to get. I'm telling you, you ain't going to be able to get your hands on one to even counterfeit.
I'm going to make my own counterfeit.
But this is the guy. I got this book in Amsterdam at the LCDH in Amsterdam, which is the LCDH. When you call it an LCDH store, that means it's Cuban authorized. So Cuba gave them the license to sell. So they call it an LCDH store, and I got that in a hotel in Amsterdam, but I got the book. It was an awesome hotel, and he had this is the same guy that helped write the Cigar Encyclopedia. So this just goes through the factories, the great factories of Cuba. Wow. So it shows you like, oh.
Look at these pictures. See, I wish this thing was video. It's a podcast.
I'm going to post this video of the books, though. I'm going to cut out the video.
Okay, all right.
Books.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to bring them back for electric football.
We're gonna bring them back, folks. We're gonna wrap this podcast up. Elgin is a wealth of cigar knowledge, and yes. I knew it. See, I already knew it.
I've never smoked. I may have smoked one or two cigars in my whole life, but I just thought it was awesome. I mean, I had no idea there was so much to know about cigars.
Yes,
that's a lot. I'm just scratching the surface.
Right, Elgin.
Elgin was talking about like, oh yeah, we'll get this in. And I'm thinking that it's like, we ain't gonna have time for all of that. he was kind of nervous. Once we got him with cigars, he was like a fish in water, okay?
Yep. Right.
And he just went on. And that's a podcast, Elgin. Now, we gotta get you back on. Because we do have to get an electric football.
Yeah.
Because you are a power player with that, you know. Taking over the MFCA, your travels to the TOC. So we're going to say that.
Yeah.
We just, that was a podcast. That's
okay.
It.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks. Thanks so much. Yeah, part one.
Part
for
one.
Sure.
Part one, right.
We got to come back with LG, the EC2.
EC.
He was Elgin this podcast. Next one, he just EC. That's your new podcast, EC.
Yeah.
Well, folks, Elgin, thanks for coming on.
For sure.
Text me that lighter. I want to look that up. I want to see it.
As soon as I get on the phone, I'm going to text it to you.
Ping!
If you ever hear it.
Well, Vito, look. I tell you, when I get them, I know how to pick them. Do I?
You came through on the clutch, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Like Joe Montana.
Well, yo, it was great. Well,
yeah,
folks,
for sure.
Want to thank you for listening to the Mr. National podcast. This is just the cigar show. This was it. This was like, you know what I mean? If you go into a cigar lounge, you just want to put this one on take this in.
Right.
Why are you puffing on your favorite cigar?
Just get in touch with Mr. National, and he'll ask Elgin
some
questions.
I'll connect you to Elgin.
Yeah, he'll ask some questions and then answer it for you.
And then answer. So this is the podcast you want to just sit back at the cigar lounge and take it in.
You know what we could do, too? We could do a Q&A if we could go live and do a Q&A where we can
That's
get people stupid questions.
I like that.
Yeah.
For on the Instagram, we can go live.
Yeah,
awesome.
That's what we're gonna do. That's it.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
All right. AP double. I think
this is
a wrap.
Yep.
Kit Kitchen, get us out of here, baby.
Take it away. Peace.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for listening to Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast. Now that didn't hurt, did it? Check out this and other podcasts at www.stackwitnationow.com.